joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline to discuss it all is ESPN's finest, youngest, broad play-by-play guy, Adam Amin. What's going on, Adam? Adam, you there, bud?
Yeah, I got you, Jeff. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. What's going on?
You know what? It's been an interesting day. Just watching how these games have unfolded and how dramatic it's been, how maybe a little surprising it is right now in Oklahoma. So it's been entertaining to watch, man.
Yeah, so here's something I learned tonight that I probably learned all year long. LeBron still has it, even at in his elder ages, huh?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think a lot of people have this tendency to overreact with one game with LeBron. And listen, I called game one of that series. I'm well aware that passive LeBron is not very good LeBron. And maybe it's not even necessarily him individually. He doesn't have the luxury that he did last year when he had Kyrie Irving running side by side with him.
Right.
You know, Kyrie Irving, I don't think people really appreciate, and maybe just because we haven't seen him in the playoffs because he's been injured, but I don't think people really appreciate how great of a scorer, how great of a defender, how great of a distributor Kyrie Irving was next to LeBron James these last couple of years.
Yeah.
Not having him there has really impacted them at both ends of the floor. So I thought that game one performance for LeBron, when he was basically just deferring for the first 12 minutes of the game, and all of a sudden they're down 20 after Indiana punches them in the mouth, I think we overreacted to that. I think that was just him kind of surveying and kind of figuring out what he had around him in a playoff series when he's got a bunch of new guys playing their first playoff games. You know, Larry Nance, Jordan Clarkson, how's George Hill going to react in a playoff setting? What's Kevin Love going to be able to do as a number two option? So I think once he got past that and they got punched in the mouth a little bit, we've seen aggressive LeBron throughout these last five games now. And sure enough, when they needed him most, he provided the dramatics. Granted, it should have been a goaltend against him on that Oladipo drive. I understand that. That's a missed call by the refs, and that'll be on the last two-minute report. But when they needed him most, he delivered in a big way.
No doubt. And listen, to your earlier point about overreaction, if there is one NBA superstar who elicits the wide spectrum of reaction and overreaction, it's going to be LeBron. I mean, nobody does it better than him in that regard.
I would tend to agree. And when you're under the microscope the way he is, you're going to get that. You're going to get that a lot, maybe more so than you deserve. And whether it's fair or not, that's the microscope that you're put under.
Yep.
When you are essentially the star of stars in this league. And it's a star-driven league, and there's, I would say, maybe 20 to 25 guys, Jeff, that really kind of move the needle. And he's among the top of that list, along with the Kevin Durants and the Steph Currys. And I would say, as we go forward, the Joel Embiids and the Russell Westbrooks of the world and the James Hardens of the world.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what we've talked about for quite a while here, Adam, talking with Adam Amin of ESPN, is the process that, Sam Hinkie started that has now continued on with Brian Colangelo. And to be able to have young, ascending, even great talent, say like the Timberwolves, right, is great. They have Wiggins, they have Karl Anthony Towns. But what the Sixers have been able to put together looks to me like two potential Hall of Famers, two transcendent talents in Simmons and Embiid. And it's really something to behold right now. I'm curious your thoughts just as an outsider watching that team and what you've thought about those two.
Yeah, I'm obviously still concerned with Embiid's health. If he stays healthy, that's probably going to be the main thing, because he's as skilled of a big man as we have. Obviously, his charisma, his charm, his likability factor is very high, which is obviously important if you're going to be a marketable star in this league. And that's what not all of them, but a lot of those other guys are. Obviously, LeBron's as marketable as they come. These are, marketable athletes. But I think Simmons really... I think he's on that track. Mm-hmm. I think he's on that track to be one of the great players. Now, obviously, this is a very small sample size if you're looking at a full career. You're hoping that he's going to churn out 14, 15 years, and this is only year one of him playing in this league. So, obviously, it's a very small sample size, and it's impossible to extrapolate what's going to happen over a decade and a half. But based on this, what I've seen as a rookie, I think he has enough, as long as he stays healthy in this league and has a few guys around him, whether it is somebody like an Embiid. He needs a team like the one he has right now, that's a little bit deep, that has talent, potentially transcendent Hall of Fame type talent around him. But if he has those things, this could be a transcending career, honestly. And I truly believe that. He has the skill for it. He has every tool in the book that I've seen, and I've gone back to covering him when he was in high school. You know, I called his McDonald's All-American game. I knew then that he was as positionless of a player as we have, and that's perfect for the NBA right now with the fluidity that's required to be a really strong player on a strong team. So I think I have even higher hopes for Ben Simmons maybe than I do for Joel Embiid.
That's amazing. And the thing that really struck me about this series, Adam, is that, you know, for a young kid, the Miami Heat did everything in their power to test him, not just as a basketball player, but his temperament and a guy who has to control an entire team as a rookie. They hit him. They smacked him. They went after his legs. You know, they tried to start fights with him. He barely, you know, showed any sign of flappability. And I thought that, among everything, the scoring, the assists, the reboundings, the triple-doubles, all that was about as remarkable as I've seen from a rookie.
Well, I thought the biggest challenge that Miami brought to Philly, and listen, I said it before the series began, I wouldn't be shocked if Miami won the series.
Mm-hmm.
I still thought Philadelphia should win. They should have been favored, and they are the better team overall. But I would not have been shocked if Miami won based on a couple of things. And the main thing was, to me, the experience factor and the poise factor that Miami, and I think they displayed it certainly in game two, the poise factor that they play with,
mm-hmm.
and the experience that they had, you know, whether it's Wade coming in off the bench or a guy like Dragic who's played in some playoff games, I thought they had that factor. And obviously, Spoelstra is an excellent coach. He's a very good X and O coach. He can't really do it with the land of misfits that he has on that roster, and they're going to have to blow that thing up if they want to make any progress. But all that being said, from the Philadelphia angle of it, what you just talked about is so fitting of Ben Simmons. He matched that poise. You have to have that in the playoffs, especially if you're going up against a veteran team like Philadelphia did. And I saw that pretty much from game one all the way through the entire series for Simmons.
Talking with ESPN's play-by-play guy, Adam Amin. Now, Adam, you've seen a lot of playoff games here so far. You broadcasted them. It looks to me, I mean, obviously, we've got a 3-2 lead here for Boston, but, you know, it's going to go back to Milwaukee. That'll be a tight series. No matter who they play, I feel like the Sixers will probably be favored and should win. How do you feel about that situation?
I would tend to agree with you. I think it's a more difficult matchup, in all honesty, with Milwaukee. I actually think I would give a bigger edge to Philly against Boston. I think it's a tougher matchup. I think it's a tougher matchup for Boston. I don't feel like they have anybody that can defend Simmons, and that's the big factor to me. Horford will give Embiid a lot of trouble,
mm-hmm.
Certainly, but I don't think that means Embiid's not going to get his. It may not be a 22-12 night every night of the series, like I imagine it would have been had he played against Hassan Whiteside the entire series. But I think he would still be an 18-10 guy, 18-12 guy, even over the course of that long series. He would have trouble defending Horford, I think, on the perimeter. Not to say that Embiid hasn't guarded guards or hasn't stepped out against bigger guys,
right.
But I think Horford does provide a little bit of a matchup problem at that position. He's one of the best passing centers and one of the best three-point shooting centers in the NBA. So I think that would provide a little bit of a problem, but I don't see anybody being able to really stick with Ben Simmons on that Boston defense. I think he's too big. As we said, kind of the fluidity of his game and the nature of that would make it difficult. I think Giannis is as difficult of a matchup as there is in the NBA, whether it is a Joel Embiid guarding him. You still have to worry about the other big men that he does a good job working with. I just think the biggest thing is if Milwaukee advances, they have to get Giannis the ball. Heck, if they want to win that series, they have to give Giannis the ball. And for whatever reason, in crunch time in the fourth quarter yesterday, they just refused to get him touches. And
mm-hmm.
I understand Chris Middleton is an excellent scoring guard, and he's been great in these playoffs, but either way, I think Philadelphia will be favored, and I would pick Philadelphia in a series against either one of those opponents.
How would you, what at this point, because there's been a lot of talk in this city, Adam, about the Sixers being in the finals, both of the Eastern Conference and in the NBA finals. How far are you willing to say this team can go?
I think they're a conference final team, and by the way, that's pretty good. considering that this is your first playoff run in half a decade, I think that's pretty impressive in all honesty.
Yeah.
I don't think that should come as, and I'm not saying that that Philly fans will be upset by it. But I'm sure that the euphoria of what they're going through right now, having been so impressive, and the pent-up frustrations that Philly fans are dealing with on the basketball floor, at the professional level at least, obviously, Villanova notwithstanding, I think I can understand why the dreams and the expectations get a little loftier. I understand that. But let's keep all this in perspective. Hey, LeBron is still LeBron, as he proved tonight. Until somebody takes him out of the playoffs, if Indiana comes back and wins this series, he's still the favorite. I don't care. I know Toronto's the one seed. I don't bet against LeBron. I haven't seen enough of the Eastern or enough from the rest of the Eastern Conference to believe that he's not the favorite. So if it ends up being Cleveland, Philadelphia, I still think Cleveland's the better team. I don't want to say that. I think Cleveland's a better pick. And it's strictly because of LeBron.
Oh, yeah, listen, I'm lockstep with you. In fact, it's weird. You know, we must be, like, separated at birth. The same reasons you outlined for saying why you thought going into the Miami series that Miami could possibly win were the same things I was saying here. I was nervous about that series, about that team, because of the coach, because of the way they play, the physical style and their experience and the way they're built compared to a team that was just in its... They're babies in their first playoff series. Now, you know, it just so happened to be that the talent won over, and that's great. But I also have said that until somebody knocks LeBron out of the NBA Finals, I'm not betting against him. But it would be a great NBA Finals if it was Sixers-Cavs. You know the league office is rooting for that.
You know, and in all honesty, I'm not sure what my assignment is yet. I'll do one of the conference finals on ESPN Radio. I'm not sure which one yet. But trust me, if it's Philly-Cleveland, I would be more than happy to take Philly-Cleveland. I think it'd be an amazing conference final. I think it'd be, you know, even with the added intrigue of LeBron likely opting out, you know, almost guaranteed to opt out at the end of this year of his 3-year deal with Cleveland, and the possibilities that loom ahead, whether it is going to Los Angeles and going to the West, or I think if he were to stay in the conference and not stay in Cleveland, I think Philadelphia would be the obvious destination for him. I've heard some scenarios, and I know Brian Windhorst probably caused a lot of buzz in Philly last week with the possibility of Kawhi and LeBron. I actually think just LeBron going to Philadelphia would probably be enough. Not to say that you don't want more superstars or more excellent two-way players like Kawhi is, but I think LeBron playing in Philly and opting to move to the four and letting Simmons be the full-time point guard, unless he's off the floor, and then LeBron can step in.
Yep.
I think that would be that'd be the scariest lineup all of a sudden. I'd be willing to say in the NBA.
Yeah, you know, in NBA history, perhaps.
I know a lot of Philly fans would be willing to jump to that conclusion, and I wouldn't blame them, because the firepower at both ends of the floor at that point would be something to behold.
Well, I mean, why don't we just get Paul George to come off the bench as the sixth man while we're at it, you know, in this crazy scenario, go. Right? All right, real quick, Adam. I just want to get to the Western Conference with you. I think Golden State, I like what New Orleans did. I think Golden State's going to win and be in the finals. Houston, Minnesota, looks like Houston's going to take that thing. How about the Oklahoma City-Utah matchup, though? Crazy, right?
I'm shocked, and that's what we were talking when I was talking earlier about some of the surprises that we're looking at. That's the biggest surprise to me is, and not necessarily that Utah won the series. It's a 4 or 5 series, and Utah's tremendously talented at both ends of the floor, if not the best defensive team, certainly one of the 3 best defensive teams in the league. I'm not saying that it'd be a shock that Utah won. I'm surprised that Oklahoma City has lacked. I mean, to lose by 19 the other night in Game 4, and you know when I left. To head home, I was watching that Utah game, and they looked lifeless, Oklahoma City did. Utah had been up, I think, by 22 at that point, and you know everybody was making shots. I think Oklahoma City is tough. They really don't have a lot of depth, and that's been a problem for them for the last 2 years, even with the addition of George. Obviously, losing Andre Robertson was huge for them defensively.
Yeah.
But Russ is a polarizing figure, in all honesty, and he's had a lot of struggles in these playoffs, focusing on the wrong things. It's gotten a little bit too much about Russ, in all honesty, where he's too worried about Ricky Rubio and not worried about helping out on Donovan Mitchell. And I think there have been a lot of problems for Oklahoma City, and they'll continue to be there. This is not going to be a fun offseason for the Thunder.
No, it really won't. And obviously everything backfired for them. Adam Amin, ESPN, really appreciate you joining us, man. Always good to catch up with you. And of course, Adam, the best thing about a Philly you know, Philly-Cleveland series here would be you get to come to Philly and we get to go out for drinks after, right?
Alessandro's on me, and we'll hit a good bar, brother.
Sounds great to me, man. I'll catch up with you soon. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care, Adam. Adam Amin, ESPN, one of their best and youngest upcoming play-by-play guys, does basketball, does baseball, does everything very well.